election. I don't know what's going to happen with the national economy going forward. I can tell you, if you have somebody like Harris actually try to do something like tax unrealized gains, that will tank this economy. We will feel that in Florida big time. You will have capital flee from this country. And here's the thing. First of all, an unrealized gain, it's not even a gain until you realize it. I mean, you know, values fluctuate. And so maybe you buy a stock and in 2 years it goes up by 30%, but 2 weeks later it could be down 15% from that high. It's just, this is not something until you sell it, you know, you don't have on the open market. So the whole thing is ridiculous.
It's ridiculous, and I just can't believe that we have grown-ass people who can cast votes in this country who don't understand how this works.
Thank you.
Honestly, I think you should be given a test. Oh, get mad at me and be like, well, Dana, I don't want stupid people who don't know math making determinations about what I can and can't do with my money. That's the problem here. That's the problem that we have just in this country. And that's, you know, DeSantis is too nice to actually say that, but I'm not. I'm, oh, gosh. So, hi, it's Dana Loesch here. We are at the top of this first hour as we are rolling into Thursday. It's Labor Day weekend, and if you've wondered where the president is, he hasn't remarked on any of this, by the way. Have you noticed?
Yeah.
Biden hasn't talked about capital gains. He hasn't mentioned it. He hasn't talked about really any of Kamala's sort of policies. I said this yesterday, and I'm going to stick to it because I feel like it's a really good way to describe this, because when they float her stuff out the way that they've been doing it, she has that benefit of doubt, right? Because, well, she didn't say it. It's not on her website. I mean, you guys are talking about these things, but they're not, you know, it's not here on her website. It's not here. It's not there. But yeah, but this is what, you know, her surrogates are going out there, but they still have, like I said, they have that plausible deniability, right? Where she can act like that, yeah, she didn't really come out and own these. She didn't really come out with this. So if it gets too bad, she can just be like, somebody misspoke. Or, you know, I never said that. Although they floated it and all of her surrogates have said it. So keep in mind, because that's exactly what I think, especially as the cap gain stuff really, the criticism of it really picks up steam. I really feel like that's what they're going to be going for. And they're going to try to say, oh, well, you know, she didn't really completely embrace this whole notion, because this is really the media. I have to say, like, some of the reaction on this has been very interesting, because you've had people who have, you know, people that I think we would classify as being supremely on the left that have legitimately have had actual criticisms. So this has all been good. All right. So welcome. Like I said, Dana Loesch with you. We are here. It's Thursday. And this is our Friday, though. But it's Thursday. We're going to go through, get you set up for this weekend, because you have the interview with Harris tonight. Well, it airs tonight. It airs. It's not actually an interview, a live interview. So this is the sit-down that she's doing with Walls, right? And of course, it's coming out right before Labor Day weekend, isn't it? Kind of interesting, isn't it, Kame?
Yeah.
Right before Labor Day weekend.
Yeah, real interesting. And weird. Also, that why would she need a man right there? I mean, if she's a strong, independent, first female president, what does it say to the world or even to the United States that she had to have a man sitting next to her for her first interview?
Wouldn't normally they call out Democrats for being sexist for having her sit like this,
yeah,
in an interview? Wouldn't they say this is sexist that she's a part of something like this? That's just, you know, I'm thinking out loud here.
Yeah. Where's her empowerment?
$1 million question. So that airs this evening. Her interview with Dana Loesch, that airs this evening. So I don't know. I don't know what kind of questions they're going to ask. I think her campaign is just completely full, just cowardly. And I'm wondering if there's two things that came up. Did you see the fake letter that they used for gun control? And it was a AI generated image, which that was something to behold. And then there was this question about where she worked at McDonald's. So there's this Washington Free Beacon piece, Washington Free Beacon, that has this piece out. And they noted that apparently she said that she had worked at McDonald's doing fries, but she never mentioned it until she ran for president, right? So she said, I did fries. She claims that she worked at McDonald's. This is another big thing now. She said she worked at McDonald's after she, but her, after she graduated college, they noted that her resume doesn't mention this. And she was on, I think it was Drew Barrymore's show, because this came back up now on the campaign trail. And one of them said, oh, I heard a rumor that you worked at McDonald's. And she goes, yes, I did. I did fries. And then I was the cashier. And, you know, ha, ha, ha. She's just like us, right? That's, and this, now that they're, now the campaign is trying to leverage this as a way of, I think, trying to humanize her. Look, she's just like you. She also worked at McDonald's or something to that effect. And I don't know, because now nobody can find anything about it. And then there's the Politico. There was a thing in Politico that had a campaign ad, and it was an early cut, so it hasn't aired yet. And it was August 14th. And they said that she worked at McDonald's to pay her way through college. So it went from casually, I worked at McDonald's, I did fries, and then I did this too. She had to work at McDonald's to pay her way through college. And that's the way that the campaign is representing it. And the free, the Politico ran that story, and the Free Beacon was asking, okay, well, when did she work there? Why is this only now just coming up? And is that true? And it sounds weird to ask whether or not that's true, but then when you consider her running mate and all the stuff, the goofy stuff that he's lied about, I don't understand why people lie over the most, the easiest, most demonstrably proven false things. I will never, in all of my years, I will never understand why people lie about the stupid stuff. Why? Why would you make up a thing about it? I worked at McDonald's, and then turn it into a big thing that you know you're going to get fact checked on? Why would you do that? So then the New York Times apparently wrote about how she went, returned to the Bay Area. I'm reading this. Returned to the Bay Area for a summer during college when she worked at a McDonald's in Alameda, next to Oakland. And she was attending college at Howard University in D.C. They said some of the details of the job varied. Others are murky. Okay. And then she had her memoir that she came out with ahead of her 2020 primary run, in which she said that she held many jobs in college, and she didn't mention McDonald's then. She just said she held many jobs in college, and then she had a whole chapter per Free Beacon devoted to the industry's quote-unquote starvation wages. She also doesn't mention it in her 2009 book. And the other, I don't know how many biographies of this woman we need. There's like four of them, apparently. There's another one in 21 that doesn't mention it, but now the campaign's making a big deal out of it. So, of course, you know, the Free Beacon's like, let's go out and look. So they went and they were looking at all of this. And apparently there's no evidence of it. She only lists like three jobs on this one application. This was Hastings College of Law. She only listened to one. She never mentioned McDonald's. She only listened listed like three other jobs. Is she like, is this like poverty cosplay? It's like you're faking this so that you can seem like you're one of the people. I'm just trying to understand, you know, her approach here. I can't stand when people do that either. You know what? I can't. That's another thing. I'm going to tell you all something that I also cannot stand. I cannot stand when people fake being country. That aggravates me to no end. And these politicians, and I see it with Waltz, and I see it with these other people, they do this all the time. Like, they're totally, you know, regular, average, everyday coastal people. Then they go over to Flyover Nation, and all of a sudden they get a twang, and then they try to play up like redneck roots or something. You're never going to fool actual rednecks playing as a redneck. You're never going to do this. You're never going to go to Appalachia country and like fake out people and acting like you're one of them. You ain't never going to go to Southern Missouri and fake people out and act like you're one of them. You ain't never going to go to Texas and, you know, and East Texas and fake people out and act like you're one of them. It's never going to happen. I don't know why people try to do this. You're not going to act like you're one of the poors or one of the proletariat or one of the plebes. You're not going to fake people out. They can see you coming a mile away. And the only people who buy into it are the people who are blind enough and stupid enough to vote for you regardless. Why they do this, I have no clue. I do not get it. You know, Bill Clinton used to do that all the time. I remember when I was in high school, and I always thought it was weird. Well, hell yeah, Biden's done it. Biden's like, yeah, he, golly.
The Democrat thing.
I mean, you're not going to fool these people. These people, look, I'm going to tell you, because I got friends who are from Appalachia, and then I've got family from Southern Missouri. You're talking about hillbillies and moonshiners. You are not going to freak out people whose entire families have come up running away from the system trying to make that moonshine. You are not going to, you're not going to fake them people out. They are used to sniffing you out. They know you. You're a Fed. They know you. Why do you think that you're... I don't get this. They just think everybody's dumb is what it is. I don't know. The whole thing, though, is fascinating to me. Why they... And then they get themselves in trouble. I don't know if this... Because, okay, so this is only... I think the interview's already been pre-taped. So I doubt this story is going to come up. But I do think it's an interesting question. Why do you feel the need to fake this stuff? What is it about your candidacy that you feel like you need to manufacture backgrounds like this? Why can't you just reach people through your policy instead of having to fabricate this, you know, fantastical background for yourself? That would be a tough question for them, wouldn't it? Yeah, I don't think that's one that she'd answer. We have a lot more on the way as we roll towards headlines. And just to let you know, coming up, we got Andy McCarthy who's going to explain this indictment. The Trump indictment again when Jack Smith, because it gets into the legal weeds and he's really good at explaining this. So we're going to talk to him. I've got some culture. I've got some education. We've got polling. I got a lot of polling for you today. If you're swamped by back taxes or unfiled returns, look, the IRS, the Professional Government Theft Agency, has hired 88,000 new agents and they are cracking down. Millions of these pay up notices have already been sent. And you don't have, if you're one of the people who's looking at this, you know, coming in your mailbox, you do not have to face it alone. Tax Network USA can help. They're tightening, IRS tightening its grip. Tax USA is needed now more than ever. You can schedule a complimentary consultation by calling 1-800-958-1000 or visiting TNUSA.com. Tax Network USA has a track record of saving clients over $1 billion in back taxes, showcasing their expertise and reliability in tax relief. Their skilled professionals are dedicated to securing the best possible resolution for your tax issues, making sure that you get the most favorable outcome. So whether you owe $10,000 or $10 million, and regardless of whether it is for personal or business taxes, they have the tools and the experience to handle any situation. So whether you're able to pay or if you're on a fixed income, Tax Network USA provides tailored solutions to help you resolve your tax burdens effectively. Don't let the IRS control your life. Empower yourself with Tax Network USA support. Take charge of your financial future. Call 1-800-958-1000 or visit TNUSA.com/Dana and work with a company I trust. They can help you resolve your tax burdens once and for all. TNUSA.com/Dana.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five.
Nevada politician Robert Tellis was found guilty of killing journalist Jeff German and sentenced to life in prison yesterday. He fatally stabbed this reporter in 2022. Democrat. It was Clark County public administrator. He looked down and shook his head. I guess he thinks he should be able to stab people to death and there not be any consequences. They said that, according to the judge, the verdict should send a message that can't silence the media, et cetera, et cetera. Tellis stabbed this guy, this Las Vegas Review-Journal reporter, after a German exposed corruption in Tellis's office that destroyed his political career and ended his marriage. And German's story was focusing on this hostile work environment in his office and how, because apparently there were people coming forward and blowing the whistle on it. There was bullying, retaliation, and an inappropriate relationship between Tellis and a staffer, all of which he denied. And then the guy was found dead outside of his house. So I'm just, yeah. And it's just weird to me that in the video when the verdict was read, he was shaking his head no. By the way, he's a Democrat, in case you didn't know. What? His party rhymes with Schmemocrat.
He's a what?
Democrat. Democrats think they just kill people. You know.
Yeah, like
living in tree-filled neighborhoods may reduce the risk of heart disease. I don't understand what... They said that 8,000 trees planted in areas of South Louisville, Kentucky, as part of a research trial. and they used blood and other samples to. I think that there's probably more to it than that, but let's just be dumb and say trees. Yeah, it's the trees. All of a sudden, everybody gets nicer and everyone's health magically gets better. Town officials shut down a boys' ice cream stand, and then fundraisers and death threats followed. Yeah, America. Norwood, Massachusetts, bored and looking for something to do. This little boy named Danny Doherty hatched a plan to raise money for his brother's hockey team. He sold homemade ice cream. He was selling vanilla, shaved chocolate, oh, and Fluffer Nutter, to about 20 people. Then he got a letter from Norwood Board of Health saying that you have to shut it down. They said that the 12-year-old setup violated their food code because apparently the state of Massachusetts doesn't think that people who go and buy ice cream from a 12-year-old stand might not realize that a 12-year-old made it and might mistake themselves for being in a professional grocery store, you know, because there isn't any other indications to let them know that they're two separate areas and two separate situations and they don't know which one they may be in. Yeah, so they actually had to take it down. And then the officials, I mean, they received a wave of pushback. And I really, am I supposed to feel bad for anybody in this story other than the 12-year-old? Because I don't. I really don't. The kid's mom encouraged her son to start. I thought it was great. You know, he could be out there doing drugs or, you know, shooting people up a la Chicago. But hey, what? He's not. He's out there making money like a good little capitalist. And you can't have that in Massachusetts. No money to be made. Killing of invasive owls is to ramp up on the West Coast in a bid to save the native birds. I love it when leftists discover culling herds. They're like, wow, we're going to have to kill some of them to save them. You mean like culling the herds, what you always bitch and moan about whenever ranchers and farmers do it? U.S. wildlife officials are drastically scaling up efforts to kill invasive barred owls. They're crowding out imperiled native owls. Can I have some? Like, why don't you just make it to where I can have some of them as pets? I've always wanted an owl. I have a horrible story about an owl. Well, let's not talk about that right now. Also, Peloton is horrible, and they're slammed for charging a $95 activation fee because people are selling their. I have a Peloton bike if anybody wants to buy it. I've used it 5 times. $95 activation fee because they're trying to get more money now that people are reselling them. Stick with us. We got more in store. It's our partners that'll bring you free radio, our good friends over at Bernegun. Now, this is a new company. It's a new way of thought. And you have to think about not diversity the bad way. I mean, diversity in terms of self-defense, right? Self-defense options. And you have to be smart about how you diversify to outwit the state. Like I carry, I tell people to carry all the time. And I have friends who carry in DC and in New York and even in Chicago. But, you know, we all work in one way or another in an industry or in an area where you're not able to carry everywhere, especially my friend who lives in DC. Even though they go out and get those, they're very coveted, you know, CHLs, they still can't carry. But they need to be able to defend themselves, particularly considering the high crime rate in the areas in which they live. So this is where Bernegun comes in. Now, it's the interesting name, Bernegun, B-Y-R-N-A. It's a non-firearm firearm, right? It doesn't care about gun-free zone signs. So, for instance, when you go to purchase it, there's no background check. There's no waiting period. There's none of that. It's legal in all 50 states. But what it does is it shoots chemical irritant projectiles that can disable threats from up to 50 feet away. Now, I said plural with those because if you compare it to like a stun gun that has like one or two shots, Byrna's most popular model, the Byrna SD, has a 5-round capacity. And so this is their most popular model. They've sold like 500,000 of these. And you have those chemical irritant projectiles. That's going to diversify your self-defense options and give you a way to protect yourself when the state is trying to make it hard for you to do so. It's practical. And like I said, it doesn't care about gun-free zone signs. Learn more about the Byrna gun. Visit Byrna, B-Y-R-N-A, Byrna.com/Dana for 10% off your purchase. Check out all of your options at Byrna.com/Dana for 10% off.
The Dana Show Podcast, your fast, funny, and informative news companion for those always on the move. Subscribe on YouTube, Apple, or wherever you get your podcasts.
But to have those 13 Americans lose their lives and not fire a single person is disgraceful. Kamala Harris is disgraceful. We're going to talk about a story out of those 13 brave, innocent Americans who lost their lives. It's that Kamala Harris is so asleep at the wheel that she won't even do an investigation into what happened. And she wants to yell at Donald Trump because he showed up. She can go to hell.
Say it. Say it. No. I want them to taunt him into saying it. Come on, audience, do your thing. I was right there with him. I was like, yeah, and I was just going, and I knew what he was doing. And I'm like, no, yeah, keep it going. Wait, what? No. He is the more disciplined Trump. Yeah. If ever you needed more proof of that, it's right there. Welcome back, Dana Lash, with you, bottom of this first hour. Make sure you go find the chat on Rumble. That's where everybody hangs out during the afternoon. And, of course, also Substack, Chapter and Verse. Got some stuff coming out later today for you there. And YouTube, Facebook. No, he's a more disciplined Trump. And you know it. He's a more disciplined Trump. Although I kind of wanted him to say it that way. It's just ridiculous. They were mad. Did you see how they were mad at 45 because the families? So the families asked Trump to go out to the cemetery in Arlington, right? They asked him to go out to the cemetery in Arlington. And then he did. He went out. They laid the wreath. Daily Caller had this piece. Let me pull this up on my bookmarks. They had this piece where they said Gold Star families had trouble getting Trump into Arlington. And apparently they had to get Speaker Johnson involved because it sounded like they were giving him the runaround when I was reading this piece. So the Daily Caller says that, and this is coming from some of the families. So they were saying that Gold Star families had trouble getting Trump into Arlington until House Speaker intervened. And they had been trying to work with the cemetery. The cemetery told Gold Star families that they could only be there for a specific time. And the time that the cemetery told the families that they could go, that they could do this, apparently didn't work for all of the families. And then after they were told that, the cemetery additionally told them that Trump could not join them there. And so then chairman of House, and this is all per Daily Caller, this was just later this morning, chairman of the House Foreign Affairs Committee, Representative Michael McCaul, explained that he had been contacted by some of the Gold Star parents, specifically Darren Hoover and Kelly Barnett, who are the parents of Taylor Hoover. Hoover and Barnett told him that the Arlington Cemetery was giving Gold Star parents of these U.S. service members killed at Abbey Gate a hard time about coordinating this ceremony with Trump on the anniversary of, you know, Abbey Gate. And McCaul immediately reached out to Johnson about this. That's really wild. They invited him out. And the cemetery was fighting it. So McCaul immediately reached out to Johnson to ask for his assistance. And he apparently worked at it until they fixed it. And the cemetery apparently never said, I guess that the caller had reached out to sources close to the discussion because apparently the cemetery did not make a comment. They said that the office worked with them to accommodate and it was done by the request of the families and it's just weird. Apparently the cemetery changed right after Johnson got involved. And then everything went easy. Everything was easier. But why? Here's the other thing that the caller reported. They were saying that the cemetery officials claimed that the families didn't want any media, any photography or videography at Section 60, which is where they were having their thing, which contradicted what the families had actually requested. And the families were fine with media. It wasn't Trump that brought the media. It wasn't Trump that brought the cameras. It was the families that, all of them apparently, that specifically requested it. And the families thanked Johnson and said that the way they described the process that Arlington was handling it was obstructing. And they said, quote, this would not have happened without Speaker Johnson. And he said, one of the Gold Star parents said that the Biden administration still had not contacted them for the past 3 years. Hoover said, we extended the invitation to President Trump. We are, with emphasis on we are the ones that asked him to come. We are the ones that asked him to assist in laying a wreath for our son and for the shooting for Sergeant Canales and Cole. We are the ones that asked that. Hoover added, President Trump did not come to us. His team did not come to us and say, hey, this would be good for business. No, they said we were the ones who approached him. And they also, one of the other parents also added that he didn't say anything about bringing cameras. If there had been no cameras there, he still would have gone. And the press had been blasting him for that. And that's the reason why that's kind of an important note, because all day yesterday, the press was blasting Trump and they were saying that Trump used the event as a photo op. And they were claiming, like, Axios, Politico, everybody, NBC, they were all saying that it was like his idea. And it wasn't. And then they were wondering how Trump even got there. Audio soundbite 9, Gold Star mom Kelly Hoover lays it out. Listen.
Kelly Barnett invited the former president to Arlington. Her son, Marine Staff Sergeant Taylor Hoover, died at Abbey Gate.
What would you say to people who may be pro-Trump, anti-Trump, whatever their politics might be, who just feel like that's not a place for politicians or for politics?
I would have to say, are you in my shoes? I invited him. My son was murdered under the Biden-Harris administration.
Wow. Good for her. How difficult would that be? And I think that these families have so much restraint. And you can just tell that. You just know when you've got good families because they're just, everybody's so well-mannered. I don't know that I would be. I can't imagine having to deal with 3 years on knowing how you lost your loved one, knowing the decision-making process that led up to it, and you want to lay a wreath and you want to have an observance for it, and to not only have the cemetery give you the runaround and then have the media attack you and then claim it was a photo op. Wow. No, Biden already had his photo op. He had his photo op when people were falling off the plane in Afghanistan. He had his photo op in the immediate aftermath of the explosion at Abbey Gate when you have body parts laying everywhere. That was his photo op. I just found that to be reprehensible. There were so many members of the media that were going off about this yesterday. And then when it came out that the Gold Star parents were the ones who asked it, and they were, I mean, justifiably angry that they even had to address how it came to be. Not one of those media members apologized to these families. Not one Democrat surrogate who was on television all day yesterday talking about it, day before talking about it. Not one. You know, for people who claim to care so much about our military, for people who claim to care so much about Gold Star families, the apologies for attacking the way that those families chose to conduct that observance were missing. Pretty amazing, right? For people who claim to care so much. It was because they were mad because it made them look bad. They were mad because they have a commander in chief. Consider, again, the contrasts. I just saw another picture this morning of Joe Biden at the beach. Now Jill's sisters are there. So they've got Jill's sisters there, too. We're going on day 9 of his vacation. He was in Santa Barbara. Now he's at his beach house in Delaware. Day 9. They were on the beach when all this was happening. Nobody knows where Kamala was. And that's what Democrats are upset about, because it made them look bad. And if something makes them look bad, it has to be everyone else's responsibility. Having this party, it's like being in a relationship with a malignant narcissist. Nothing is ever their fault. It's always the other person's fault. It's all, if they did something bad and it looks bad and it was rightfully interpreted as being bad, it has to be somebody else's problem, right? That's just shameful. Absolutely shameful. So, a few other things that we're hitting on today. This couple of things. Pull this up. This is an immigration issue. I am floored by some of this stuff because, you know, what we're hearing about what's going on with immigration, and you hear border towns and all this other stuff. It's not just at the border. It really isn't. In Colorado, because apparently Venezuelan gangs are the real problem right now, I think everywhere, not really just so much in Colorado. Remember the last big murder that took place in New York? That was a Venezuelan gang. In fact, the last two murders were people who were associated with Venezuelan gangs. So in Aurora, Colorado, and I first saw this by Colin Rugg, but I've read some of the local media there. A Venezuelan gang, illegal immigrants, took over, and they're armed. They took over an apartment complex in Aurora, Colorado. They were heavily armed. They stormed through the residence, brandishing guns. They had rifles. They were pounding on the doors in the apartment complex. Everybody else, those who didn't have rifles, had pistols. One of the local council members says a gang has taken over not one, but several apartment complexes in Aurora. Now, cops refused to confirm whether or not they were a part of this very well-known cartel, but one of the council members said that, oh, yeah, they are. They said that, and it's Venezuelans who are, it's illegal immigrant Venezuelans, and those who come in from Venezuela who are members of this gang, and then they find other illegal immigrants, and they exploit them and extort them. So you see, again, why coming in illegally, because then you can always be given up. Somebody always has something on you. Do you see how that can be used to, you know, the detriment of the people that Democrats claim they want to help? The video is wild. There's no, they don't know if anybody was injured, but apparently there was a shootout at the complex, according to Fox 31. And that's one of their local media outlets there. They said several vehicles were damaged. Cindy and Edward Romero moved out of their apartment on Wednesday before this happened because they were already dealing with criminal action from people coming in illegally. Cindy Romero said that it has, quote, it's been a nightmare and I can't wait to get out of here. She was packing up all her possessions. She said that in their apartment, the reporter noted that the Romeros had this really elaborate system, multiple locks on their door, running all the way from the top to the bottom. And they said they have to do this even just to go outside to take out the garbage because they said that they have all of these Venezuelan gangs that are in the area. And they said that we can't have people kicking in the door because apparently they will kick down your door. And they said this shootout that they had apparently yesterday was like the second in a month that they've had. And they're armed Venezuelan gangs. And that's what some of the council members, and I should note that the council members that are talking about this are not Republicans. They're saying that, yeah, these are, but it's a sanctuary state, sanctuary cities. When you refuse to work with ICE, when you refuse to honor detainers, when you refuse to deport people who come in illegally and then continue the illegality, what do you think you're going to get? We're going to talk more about this because it wasn't just in Colorado. Apparently a bus was stormed too. School bus. We're going to talk about this coming up. Oh, I know. We got Days of These United States also. Our partners that help make radio possible. Patriot Mobile is the only Christian conservative cell phone service. And if you don't care about that because you're broke, like most Americans, they're going to save you more money than what you're saving now. You're going to pay less with Patriot Mobile than with your big commie cell phone service. And that's just because they charge less. I mean, they don't have to charge to pay all of the donations to all of the Marxist stuff that they have. Patriot Mobile, like I said, they've got great plans, great coverage on all three major networks. So you're getting the best service in your area and you're not funding the left. And when you switch, you're helping to support U.S.-based jobs. All of their whole team is 100% U.S.-based. They make it so easy to switch. You can keep your phone, keep your number, upgrade. The choice is yours. And you can also get a free month of service right now using offer code Dana, which also gets you free activation. So why on God's green earth would you work with a Marxist cell phone company that actually works against you, donates to the stuff that you vote against, protects and advocates for the stuff that you fight against? Why would you not switch to Patriot Mobile? My gosh, they love Jesus. They love America. They love guns. And they want to save you money. For crying out loud, just call them already for the love of God. PatriotMobile.com/Dana. 972-PATRIOT. Use code Dana. Free activation, free month of service.
Would Kamala's proposed raise in corporate tax affect you, the consumer? Kamala's proposing raising corporate tax rates from 21 to 28%. Corporations are the ones selling stuff and providing services. By raising taxes, they raise the prices on things that they sell to you.
Check out the Watchdog on Wall Street podcast on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcast.
Get the lowdown on the latest news with a side of laughs whenever you want. Subscribe to the Dana Show podcast on YouTube, Apple, or wherever you get your podcast.
Like sands through the hourglass, so are the days of the United States.
To what extent movies, cinema, can make it possible that a woman like Kamala Harris could become president of the United States?
I love that question.
The question is, I'm sorry.
Yes, I understand, but I love that question because we're all so excited about Kamala. And to think for one moment that my work would have anything to do with her rise makes me very happy, actually, because it's true. You know, I have so many women who come and thank
me. Oh, my gosh.
Me. Sorry.
Why are you crying? You're my vodka. You're crying out loud. Stop it. As much as I hate her political position, she must be a damn great actress, because I can't imagine that anyone who is anything remotely like Ripley could cry over being asked a question about Kamala Harris. Oh, my gosh. I just don't think Kamala Harris was inspired by her, because Ripley actually won stuff. And Ripley could talk even when she was fighting aliens. And Ripley had, like, you know, advertised positions like don't like the aliens, want to get rid of the aliens. And instead of going out there and killing babies a la Planned Parenthood, she went out there and fought alien queens to save them. I'm just saying, you know. And she was self-sacrificial. She jumped into that vat of whatever the hell that was in that last one. Remember? Yeah. That's not Kamala Harris. Can you imagine just who cries over a politician? If I ever cry over a politician, I'm an alien, and it is they are wearing a me suit. Just know that. If I ever cry over a politician, that is your first sign, in addition to liking disco or thinking that Green Day's a good band, or thinking that Family Guy's funny, that's a sign that I am an alien, and aliens are real. So that's if that ever happens, then you better start asking, you know, the feds, what's going on with these aliens here? Because now one of them is wearing a Dana suit on TV, right? She's crying over a politician. That could never, I just don't get that. How do people get that invested? I don't know. She's at the Venice Film Festival. Maybe she's jet lagged and drunk. I don't know. It could, you know, could be. All right. So coming up, this is a weird thing. We've been talking about the families, the Gold Star families that invited the former president to the cemetery. Does anyone else think it's weird that you have an army spokesperson who is getting involved in this? Why is the army releasing a statement like slamming the former president, saying that he can't conduct political activities at Arlington? That's not what that was. We have to talk about this. Stay with us. Our friends over at Black Rifle Coffee, just the best coffee out there. I accidentally spilled some of my coffee this morning again. Yeah. It's like liquid gold because it's so good. And I don't want to waste any of it. And this is the only coffee that I will drink. I've gotten to the point, I don't drink ground coffee at home. I ground my own beans, but I will get a bag of ground coffee from Black Rifle Coffee now with my coffee club order, just so I can take it with me when I travel, because I cannot stand drinking anything else. It's just awful. But Black Rifle Coffee is the best. Veteran owned, veteran run. And you can tell that honestly because of the quality. They're so mission focused and they're coffee dorks. So it works out really well for all of us who love coffee. But they have a couple of offers for you right now. First off, you know, you can sign up for the coffee club. Choose your roast frequency of shipment. It's shipped for free to your door. You get free shipping. It shows up on your porch. But they also have what they call the Mission Fuel Kit Variety Sampler. These are all like my favorite ones. You get 4-ounce bags of Silencer Smooth AK-47 Espresso, Beyond Black and Just Black. I love all of these. It comes in this cool blue box, so it's a really great gift. And it's available exclusively in grounds. You get the ground texture, but it's bold, it's flavorful. They get the best beans, and they roast them 5 days a week here in the U.S. of A. And everything that they do, from the roast to the bag art, pays homage to American culture and military history. So they got kettles, grinders, mugs, apparel, all kinds of stuff. K-cups, whole bean, ready to drink, you name it, they got it. So get outstanding flavor and aroma. Experience it at blackriflecoffee.com. Get that complete Mission Fuel Kit Variety sample today and get 20% off. That's huge. With code Dana. 20% off with code Dana at blackriflecoffee.com.
I played a famous supporting character, Samwise Gamgee, in the Lord of the Rings trilogy, and people have told me for the last 24 years since they've been watching that how much they feel that Sam is a hero. We've been watching Kamala Harris in a very powerful supporting role for the last 3.5 years. She's now stepped out. She's ready. She's strong. And I don't want to miss this moment in history.
You know, he blocked me on X. Samwise Gamgee. Doris Day is his mom. And that dude, blocked. He was an Encino man, Sean Austin, Aston. Yeah.
I thought it was Patty Duke.
Oh, Patty Duke, whatever. One of them blondes from the 50s. Patty Duke, whatever. That's his. That was his mom. He blocked me after Parkland, and I never was like really mean or anything, but he was just a bag of male copulatory organs. I just have no, he was just like, he was a little jerk. I can't, it almost ruins it for me. Samwise Gamgee, though, he's trying to compare Kamala Harris to his character. In what way? Welcome back to the program. I know we have other audio we could play, but I was like, no, I have to have this one. Welcome back. Dana Lash with you. Top of the second hour. Because you guys know I'm a huge Lord of the Rings fan. Never fail. I can bring any situation back. Why are you nodding like that? Any situation back to Lord of the Rings.
It's true.
Everything in life can be walked right to Lord of the Rings.
I've witnessed it.
Every single thing.
I've witnessed it all.
And, you know, he's sort of like Saruman, switching sides there. Mm-hmm. That's what he's like. And Kamala Harris would be more like that one orc that tried and failed to go after the hobbits. You know what I mean? Just saying. Because she failed. That's my whole thing. Like, she was carrying out somebody's stuff and she couldn't do it. I don't know. Why do they got to do that? Why do they have to do that? He's not the only, because it's Venice Film Festival, so all the celebrities are there. And of course, everybody's asking these celebrities about Kamala Harris, which nothing is going to convince, you know, fly over America to support Kamala Harris, like asking all of these overfed celebrities at the Venice Film Festival to weigh in on what they think of her. You know, that's nothing. Nothing's going to do that. Come on. I mean, that's really, I think a lot of people were really, they didn't know which way they were going to go until Ben Stiller talked about it. I'm not going to hate on Ben Stiller, because I will say he's never been a jerk about it. You know what I mean? Like, Ben Stiller, okay, Ben Stiller can be wrong on Kamala Harris. That's fine. And he can talk about, you know, whatever he thinks changes, etc. I don't know why they need change. I mean, they've been in charge for the past 4 years, so why do you need change? In fact, he talks about it here, audio soundbite 11. He's not a jerk, not like Sean Astin is. Listen.
Good. Do you mind answering just a quick question? Why you came and what you like about Harris' platform?
And just very excited about moving forward and all the energy and excitement that's around this movement right now. So that's why I'm here, because it's, you know, time for change, and it seems like it's happening.
You think she'll be able to sustain the momentum post-convention?
For sure.
You think the race is going to be close?
It's going to be close, but you know, everybody's motivated to work. To work and make it happen. So, and she and Tim Walz are just incredible candidates.
I mean, he's so wrong. He's so wrong. It hurts me. It's like kicking my soul in the jimmies if it had those. He's so wrong, because I don't dislike him, but he's not a jerk. He's entitled to be wrong, and he was nice about being wrong, right? He was like, I just think they're great candidates. He didn't go, I think our candidates are amazing and yours are the devil. He didn't say that. He's so wrong. But he wasn't a jerk. So I can accept that, right? I can't accept Sean Astin like arguing with people on X and being a jerk and then blocking people right and left. Or Mark Hamill. I mean, golly, that guy. That's not toxic masculinity. Oh, that's right. Yeah, he's toxic femininity. Yeah. He just looks toxic. He just doesn't look like a nice guy or say, and he was never a good actor. That's why he never really, I mean, people can sit here and talk about his voice acting, but okay. Anyway. But Ben Stiller's not a jerk about it. So if you're not a jerk, I'm cool with you. But if you're mean, then I just feel like it's my duty to, you know, I'll match your energy. So pick how we're going to feel today. You know, this will go with it like that. I don't get why they're so excited about her now. They loathed her. I kept seeing this video. We can't play it because we'll probably get dinged on YouTube. But it's a Daily Show compilation. They made so much fun of her. That was what, a year ago? They came out with this video a year ago. And they made so much fun of her. So much fun of her. And now they're, oh, we're so excited. I mean, there's so much excitement about this movement. What movement? They keep saying change and forward. What are they changing from?
The same.
Well, you know, I guess you have to say change because you can't go same. That doesn't sell as well. Everyone's broke, and you have to act like it's someone else's fault, even though you've been in charge for the past 4 years. She's been vice president. Now they act like, we don't know where she came from. She's a breath of fresh air. She's been in the Senate and then the vice president. What are you talking about? She's been here this whole damn time. You guys are asking for a change from her. I can't get over it. So I don't get it. I don't understand what they're, make it make sense. Make this make sense. But they're all the celebrities. They're all in Venice for the Venice Film Festival. And of course they're all going to be asked this. Now her interview is tonight. Airs tonight with Dana Bash. Are we going to get some more of audio soundbite 8? Explain to me how teams work.
That our country is counting on you. All of you. You are leaders. By the very fact that you all are here in this room, doing what you do at this incredible school, doing it as one big team, understanding all of the different parts that fit together to create a team.
She took four sentences to say one sentence.
And she's talking to a high school band. You know, high school kids.
What's a team?
What is a team? Can you explain to us what a team is? She had Jan Hooks from Pee-wee's Big Adventure energy just then. This woman is making an authentic Mexican tortilla. Can y'all say tortilla? And then all these actual Mexicans are going, tortilla, what? Speaking of which, do you have me Eva Longoria?
Oh, yeah.
Can you? Kane's very excited about this.
Juan and I both.
Kane and Juan are very excited. So how, on a scale of 1 to si se puede, what is this?
Oh, good Lord. This is horrific. You mean from si se puede to Latinx?
Oh,
this
gosh.
Is somewhere closer to Latinx, but go ahead.
Oh, okay.
And she supports us to dream big, too. So let me tell you, in the Latino community, in our community, we have a saying, si se puede, which means yes. It means yes, we can. But tonight, I'm here to tell you, yes, she can. So we're going to say, she se puede. So when someone asks you, is she ready to lead this country forward, we're going to say,
tortilla.
She se puede.
Tortilla.
When somebody says, is she qualified for the job?
Oh my gosh, these people live in an adobe. Can y'all say adobe?
Adobe.
She se puede?
Yeah.
She se puede.
Uh-huh. Okay. Doesn't that kind of underscore the binary though in Latin language? Latin-based languages?
Yeah, she's pissed off a little bit of the left there. Or a lot of bit of
all
the left.
The trans people are out there like, no, it's cis se puede. It's cis se. It's cisse. Or zese. Actually, I can't even say zese. Yeah, that
this portion,
Z-E.
This portion of real life is just like comedy.
Oh, my gosh. That is like a skit. I can't tell anymore what is or is not. You can just like, you know, weave these together. And it's just like watching an old school SNL, except it's real. That's the whole issue. Then it's real. So I don't know. She's got the interview tonight, and then now ABC. So I was wondering why ABC. Remember we talked about this? I guess talked about this. Why ABC? Because they were going back and forth over the debate. Didn't come in and go, look, lady, these rules for the debate have already been settled. Just get over it and commit. Because she was the one who wasn't committing. So ABC News has rejected her last minute bid to keep to change the Trump debate rules, and they're keeping the muted mics. So somebody had to make an angry call to like the t-shirt manufacturer or the hat manufacturer or whatever merch they were going to try to whip up in China and sell. So they've declined to adopt her demands to have wholly unmuted microphones. And they were going back and forth over this. And I told you what? Last week, at the start of this week, I said the whole reason that they wanted to do this is because she wants to have a moment where she can look like Trump is interrupting her and she talks over him and she just wants to have that moment. Like, I am speaking. I am speaking. That's, she wanted that. Now she's not going to get it. So they're both going to be on stage. They're only allowed. She wanted to sit. She wanted to be able to sit down and she wanted a cheat sheet. I'm not kidding you. That's what they had asked for. And ABC is like, look, lady, we're, stick to the rules. This is what I will say this. I can't believe I'm saying this. This is weird, but it's going to be a little hard, Kane. I might need help. That ABC stuck to their guns, so to speak, is a non-bad thing.
Oh. Like a clock being correct twice a day?
Yeah, it is good. Good. Good.
Or a blind squirrel finding a nut?
Yeah, right, exactly.
I get it.
Felt growth just then. Yes. So they have to stand on stage and they only get a pen, a pad of paper, and a bottle of water. That's it. And they have to follow the same rules as the June debate that Trump had with Biden. And her team said that they wanted both candidates' mics on for the whole thing. And now they have to take it. The debate rules aren't going to change and they can't back out of the debate. So think about this. If her interview, again, it's a pre-taped interview. If it goes bad, and how bad would it have to go for a pre-taped interview to make you look bad? Then the pressure is really going to be on for her. Really going to be on. So I don't know. They said Trump already accepted it. They're like, just accept the debate. Stop it. And so finally, I guess they're going to have to because ABC says, you know, no, we're not doing it. Got to take the rules as they are. So that was not horrible of ABC. They did something non-bad. Unbad. They did something unbad. Look at that. I already struggled to say it once, okay? So don't make me do it again. We have more to come as we roll towards headlines. And as we do so, our partners are bringing you free radio ReadyWise. They want to make sure that you are, as their name indicates, ready and wise about it for whatever may happen. They give you peace of mind, the ReadyWise folks, knowing that you're ready for any situation, whether it's a natural disaster, if it's a power outage, maybe even, you know, an unexpected storm, whatever it is. Being prepared means that you can face challenges with confidence. Now, they have two offers for you. Promo code DANA20 at checkout gets you 20% off any regularly priced item. They also have a 72-hour food kit. Buy one, get one. $100 in value for $50. And that includes two boxes with 12 pouches of premium survival food. You get your three hots. You get your drinks. You get all of it. Over 11,000 calories in each kit. All their food made with high-quality U.S. ingredients, packed in a state-of-the-art U.S. plant. So you know the chain of command for everything. Freeze-dried, dehydrated, easy to prepare, just add water, 25-year shelf life. Visit ReadyWise.com and use promo code DANA20 at checkout for 20% off any regularly priced item. That's ReadyWise.com, promo code DANA20 for 20% off.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five.
So Namibia is planning to kill more than 700 animals, including elephants and hippos, to distribute the meat. By the way, you know that this is how the big reserves work. When people go big game hunting, it always gets such a bad rap from people who have no idea what it entails. You don't just go and kill any animal. It's about calling the herd for herd health. And the meat actually is distributed like this. So Namibia is killing more than 700 wild animals, including elephants, zebras, and hippos. They're distributing the meat to people who are struggling to get food. They're dealing with the worst drought in 100 years. They're coming from parks and communal areas that have sustainable game numbers, meaning they have very healthy herds, so it doesn't affect herd growth or health, and they will be killed by professional hunters, said the ministry, Namibia's government, in a press release. They're trying to alleviate the severe drought in their country because people are starving now as a result. They declared a state of emergency in May and they're facing high levels of just people starving. So the culling program is also taking pressure off of their water resources and reducing wildlife in areas where the numbers of the wildlife exceed the land's ability to support the grazing numbers. So this is really what those big game reserves and all of that, that is what they do. And people who rail against them, it is, you can dislike it all you want to, but then you can also dislike the people who live there who are trying to keep healthy herd numbers and also trying to make sure that they have meat to eat. These people have no idea about land management, wildlife, or agriculture who rail against this stuff. Also, in addition to that, a four-year-old accidentally smashed this ancient jar in a museum, and the museum invited him back. It was a 3,500-year-old artifact, and it was on display in a museum in Israel, predated biblical kings Solomon and David. Now, yes, I'm sure it looks like just a clay pot reproduction that you would get at Restoration Hardware for three times the price of what you could find on Amazon. But a four-year-old accidentally knocked it over. It was a Bronze Age jar, and it was at the Heck Museum. And it was used to transport goods like olive oil and wine. And the child's father apparently was horrified. He was curious about what was inside, pulled it ever so slightly, tipped it from its stand, shattered it into pieces. They were all shocked. The museum was very nice about it, and they invited him back. A conservationist is going to restore it. So that's good, though, because, I mean, it was an accident. Yes, you shouldn't touch stuff. But apparently four-year-olds can be fast. And the dad, like, was distracted for a second, and then that happens. So, I'm not reading this one. That's bad. Parenting is hazard to your health, says the Surgeon General. What? Yeah, they said that parents are lonely, and maybe it's because they were locked up for 2 years. Did anyone ever think about that? Everybody was locked up for 2 years, and it's rewired everyone. Apple is going to debut the first generative AI iPhone at its September 9th event. Not sure how I feel about that. Andy McCarthy joins us next to talk about that Jack Smith verdict. Our partners that help bring you free radio are good friends over at Bernega. Now, this is a new company. It's a new way of thought. And you have to think about not diversity the bad way. I mean, diversity in terms of self-defense, right? Self-defense options. And you have to be smart about how you diversify to outwit the state. Like I carry, I tell people to carry all the time. And I have friends who carry in D.C. and in New York and even in Chicago. But, you know, we all work in one way or another in an industry or in an area where you're not able to carry everywhere, especially my friend who lives in D.C. Even though they go out and get those, they're very coveted, you know, CHLs, they still can't carry. But they need to be able to defend themselves, particularly considering the high crime rate in the areas in which they live. So this is where Bernagun comes in. Now, it's the interesting name, Bernagun, B-Y-R-N-A. It's a non-firearm firearm, right? It doesn't care about gun-free zone signs. So, for instance, when you go to purchase it, there's no background check. There's no waiting period. There's none of that. It's legal in all 50 states. But what it does is it shoots chemical irritant projectiles that can disable threats from up to 50 feet away. Now, I said plural with those because if you compare it to like a stun gun that has like one or two shots, Byrna's most popular model, the Byrna SD, has a 5-round capacity. And so this is their most popular model. They've sold like 500,000 of these. And you have those chemical irritant projectiles. That's going to diversify your self-defense options and give you a way to protect yourself when the state is trying to make it hard for you to do so. It's practical. And like I said, it doesn't care about gun-free zone signs. Learn more about the Byrna gun. Visit Byrna, B-Y-R-N-A, Byrna.com/Dana for 10% off your purchase. Check out all of your options at Byrna.com/Dana for 10% off.
Make some common sense of the crazy headlines with the Dana Show podcast, your on-the-go guide for getting up to speed on today's most important stories. Subscribe on YouTube, Apple, or your favorite podcast platform.
Welcome back to the program. Dana Lash with you at the bottom of the second hour here on Thursday. You can listen all across the country. And don't forget Channel 347 DirecTV. Also find us on Rumble, X, everywhere, and Substack, Chapter and Verse. So we mentioned this and said that we were going to be talking about this more in depth today, this revised indictment from Jack Smith, which has a lot of people asking, how in the world can you essentially reintroduce this, especially when the Supreme Court had said about presidential immunity that Trump had coverage for all official acts. And it was going to be kind of going into the weeds for Smith and others to determine what was or what wasn't and how to define that an official act. So joining us on this, because we had to go to the brightest legal mind out there, our good friend Andy McCarthy, bestselling author, contributing editor at National Review. You see him on Fox News, where he's a contributor, former chief assistant U.S. attorney, and his latest book, Ball of Confusion, Collusion. I was going to almost, that's kind of the same. Ball of Collusion, the plot to rig an election and destroy presidency. He joins us now. Andy, so good to have you. Thank you so much for your time today. Well, you know, because it is, Dana. This is confusing because explain this to, you know, I know what I know and I know what I don't, which is why obviously you're here. But when I was, I just don't understand how it can be reintroduced after what the Supreme Court had ruled over official acts regarding presidential immunity.
Yeah, I think we're in a political environment, and it's as hot a political season as it gets, right?
Yeah.
And the thing is, the whole lawfare objective, if you just look at it as a big enterprise, I think was intended to influence the election. So I don't think it's unfair, politically speaking, for Trump to make a big deal of anything that happens in that area, because that was the whole point of it, is to influence the election.
Right.
But that said, I think this is a non-story that's been pumped into something it's not. And let me explain why. Remember, the Supreme Court didn't throw out Smith's case.
True.
What they did was they told Judge Chutkan that with the input of the parties, she was supposed to do an exacting examination of the indictment in order to determine what were the official acts that are alleged in the indictment that can't be used, or at least that are presumptively immune, and what are the private acts that may be grist for criminal charges. So she got the case back from the Supreme Court, the official mandate, which is the formal way of doing that, at the beginning of August, even though the Supreme Court case was July 1st. Mm-hmm. And she ordered Smith and the Trump people to file submissions to lay out what they think is left of the case after the Supreme Court made its ruling. Smith was supposed to go first. The Justice Department asked for more time. And I think, Dana, this is like the most interesting aspect of this to me, which is that if you get rid of the lawfare stuff, the Justice Department's usual job is to protect the presidency and right. argue in favor of presidential immunity. So the reason Smith asked for a delay, he was supposed to provide something by August 9th. He asked for a delay till tomorrow, which is August 30th. And the reason is, anything he does to argue in favor of being able to prosecute Trump actually hurts the Justice Department's mission to protect the executive branch in the future. So they could get bit later on by anything that Smith argues in connection with Trump. So they took some time to make sure everybody was on the same page. But understand, tomorrow, by this week, something was going to happen where he had to come forward and say, this is what I think is left of the case. And what he ended up doing, instead of making a submission on Friday to Judge Chutkan, he instead just superseded the indictment and took out the stuff that the Supreme Court absolutely said he's not allowed to use, namely Trump's consultations with the Justice Department, because the court said that's part of the core of executive power, so you can't use that. But basically, what Smith did was leave in everything else. But the fact that he filed new charges, and people are getting whipped up about that, one way or the other, he was going to have to get back to the court and say, this is what I think is left of the case. And all he did here was strip out stuff rather than add stuff. So I understand anything that happens in connection with lawfare gets people whipped up. It gets me whipped up. But I think this had to happen.
Yeah. You noted you had two really good pieces where you over at NRO where you touched on this, and you had noted that major change was the Justice Department allegation, because the way Smith was essentially arguing that Trump was using the DOJ to run cover for his crimes or to aid him in committing crimes.
Correct. What he was trying to do was get the Justice Department to indicate to the contested states like Georgia that
right.
the Justice Department had heard or had significant evidence of fraud, and that they ought to consider convening their legislatures to examine whether the popular election should stand or not. And Trump was basically trying to get the Justice Department to do that. Attorney General Barr had them working on this and didn't find any evidence of fraud that was significant. There's always fraud in every election, but fraud that was significant enough to overturn the result of the election. And what Trump, according to the allegations, I don't know what happened, but what they say Trump did was tell them, you know, look, just tell them there's evidence of fraud and let me work it out after that with the Republicans in the House.
Wow.
We're
talking with our good friend Andy McCarthy, who's got a couple of really good pieces laying out everything with this, the revised Jack Smith indictment here against former President Trump. And you also said that this isn't going to go away before Election Day, which is kind of the point, I think. That seems like they just wanted this to be out and center on voters' minds as we ramp up to November, knowing that really nothing is going to change with us until maybe next year.
I think that's entirely right. They were hoping. Now, I don't want to call Lawfare a complete failure because I don't think it was a complete failure. I think, for example, there are a number of Republican candidates who might have made better runs against Trump, but couldn't get traction with voters because once Trump was indicted by Alvin Bragg and then they had these rat-tat-tat indictments, it's like the base riveted to Trump in his defense, and it probably did help him get the nomination. But phase two of this, as far as the Democrats were concerned, was that in the stretch run to the election, they were going to get a trial or two. And particularly to them, the big thing is the J6 case, right? Mm-hmm. The Washington case is the thing they've always been hottest about. They were hoping to get those cases to trial in the run-up to the election, dump out all the bad stuff against Trump in the way of powerful courtroom testimony and documents, and then that was going to really hurt him as you went up to Election Day.
Yeah.
So what Smith missed is that, you know, he may think that Trump is the worst person in the world, but if you bring somebody into, like, I've prosecuted some of the people who actually were the worst people in the world.
Yes, you have.
And when you bring them into an American courtroom, even if you don't like them, they have due process rights and you have to respect them. And presidents have rights because they've been president, including immunity, which was always going to be a much bigger problem than Smith calculated. The thought that he thought he was just going to race this thing to trial without any complications, even though, you know, in a quarter of a millennium, we have exactly zero prosecutions of former presidents.
Right.
Is mind-boggling.
Yeah, mind-boggling indeed. And also, you know, Jack Smith's push to do this, when what many seem as, you know, his mission out just to get Trump, doesn't that in a way establish the ability for persecution of future presidents if you're weakening presidential immunity? I mean, doesn't that threat, if there's such an establishment or such a precedent established, couldn't that weaken it for future presidents?
Yeah, I think this is exactly what the Justice Department is worried about. You know, they've had their laughs and giggles going after Trump for the last 2 years, 3 years, but like the next president could be Biden or Harris. And it kind of reminds me, Dana, of from Watergate until the turn of the last century, we had a bunch of these independent counsels and special prosecutors who wreaked real havoc on Nixon, on Reagan, on Republican administrations. And then all of a sudden, Ken Starr bit Clinton in the same place where the Republicans had been getting bit for two decades. And all of a sudden they said, you know, this independent counsel thing, I don't think that's so good. And they let the statute lapse. So, you know, eventually, I know, you know, Democrats in the media may not want to recognize this, but we have this old law, which to me is the immutable law. What goes around comes around. And, you know, it's going to come around to them. And they, you know, they have to be mindful of that. And I think maybe what's going on in the Justice Department now is some people realize that Jack Smith's case has run its course in terms of being useful to them. Mm-hmm. And from here on out, it's a lot less useful.
Ooh, and he's kind of on his own at that point. Ooh, this is going to be very interesting to watch. And definitely, as Andy wrote in his piece, is not going to end before election. We'd love to have you back. And for all of his analysis, you can find him on X, and you can also find him over at NRO and Fox as well. Andy McCarthy, always a pleasure, my friend. I hope you have a great weekend. Thank you for your time today.
Thanks, Dana.
Of course.
It's his life mission to make bad decisions. It's time for Florida Man.
I'm not quite sure how something like this happens, but it did. This is Fox 35 in Orlando. A Florida man allegedly swapped tags and stole a $6,500 piece of art for just $50. Whoa. It was in Lake Worth Beach, Florida. $6,500. He swapped a tag for $50 at a business. How are you a business and you don't know it? It was in Palm Beach County Sheriff's Office that responded. They put photos on their Facebook page. They don't know who the guy is. They're still trying to find him. That seems a little crazy. He was able to pay for it. If you're the cashier, you don't know that that's the big expensive piece of art that you got.
Is that Hunter's painting?
Well, then it's worth less than 50. Right. So that guy got robbed. That guy got robbed. If it was, so they're looking for him. They're asking people to call Crime Stoppers. That's just a weird, such a weird story. How does it even happen? Also, let's see here. This, a machete threat leads to a dramatic window escape and pursuit. I'm trying to open this, but my mail is everything's slow right now. This is KHQA Channel 7 ABC. The Pensacola, Florida. A Florida man is in jail following a series of, I would say, dramatic events where victims were threatened with a machete. The suspect jumped out of a window and was involved in a getaway. Roderick Lewis, 39 years old. He is 39? Oh my gosh. Was charged with aggravated battery with a weapon, resisting an officer without violence, and he had possession of marijuana. His girlfriend, it's always a Crystal, 41-year-old Crystal Sorrell. Damn you, Crystal. Was charged with fleeing and eluding. Deputies were called to a custody dispute, and apparently Lewis drove up in a Jeep, got out with a machete in his hand, and threatened them before leaving, according to Escambia County Sheriff's Office. It threatened the victims. He jumped through a glass window while he was... How do you do it while you're detained, according to authorities? They claim that Lewis ran from deputies and got away. The next day, a deputy saw Lewis's Jeep. Sorrell was driving, and Lewis was in the passenger seat. Deputy tried to get Sorrell to stop. She refused. Sped away at 70 miles per hour. So they conducted a pit maneuver. I don't know what that is, but it sounds cool, which made the Jeep stop. And Lewis took off running.
You don't know
and
what pit maneuver is?
Is that where they throw the spikes down?
No.
It's when they bump the back of the car to the left or the right, depending on which side of the car they're on, and then it spins.
Nice.
That's the pit maneuver.
Don't try that at home, kids. They finally caught him in the backyard of a home, and they arrested him. So he was he had injuries, and he's got, as visible by his mugshot, he is on $13,000 bond. Okay, this, I'm immediately getting into this. A shrink-wrapped Florida man tried to check in his luggage at the Miami International Airport.
What? Is it cheaper?
It's like a Flat Stanley maneuver. Remember Flat Stanley? Many things are not permitted in check bags, but apparently people, I don't know. So this is a story. It was August 27th when this happened. And they said that a man who was described as tightly swaddled in shrink wrap, good heavens, tightly swaddled, hopped up on the airline's check-in counter, and a companion guided him to the baggage drop counter where he picked up the barcode scanner and checked his actual dude friend wrapped up in shrink wrap for the flight. And then he sat on the scale, and people were like just looking, they were bewildered. It didn't say how much he weighed. But they said that, I don't care about how much. What did they do? They just shared videos of it. And I mean, he tried to do it. I don't know if he made it on there. I don't think you can do that. I think that there's like federal regulation. What if you identify his luggage, though?
I wonder if it's even pressurized the same. I'm sure the temperature is not the same.
No, like, the temperature is totally not the same.
I wouldn't even try it.
That's why they say like short-nosed dogs like Brachycephalics don't do well when you know, if you check them. That has to be so stressful. I mean, think about it. Like flying anyway is stressful. I can't imagine being an animal and being boarded. But the dude, though, what if he identifies as a piece of luggage? Think about it. Who are you to question his pronouns? What if he identified as luggage? And also, how do you get out of the shrink wrap? I would already be freaking out. I don't like to be constrained like that. It bothers me even thinking about it. That he's all shrink-wrapped. That's just weird. People are weird. Why do they do this? I don't know. And a Florida woman is accused of keying cheater on a man's car. Alana Owen, 18, faces charges of criminal mischief, and she looks proud about it. Palm Bay, Florida. She was arrested after she heavily damaged this feller's car, 23-year-old Charles Cooler. And, apparently there was a little bit of a domestic incident, and then she found out that he cheated and then wrote cheater and Lil... male copulatory organ, keyed it on the hood. I can't say what it is. Third hour on the way. Stick with us.
Yeah, I mean, does America really want candidates who never, ever change their position on anything, who never look at new evidence and come to a different conclusion? I'm telling you that part of the reason that I am more open to fracking today is because the technology has changed, because we can do it in a way that protects groundwater and protects the safety of local residents. I look at new information and occasionally I change my position. Now, Vice President Harris can explain for herself why she thinks differently about this topic, but I think it'd be insane to punish anybody in political life for not being open to new information.
So is that, which audio soundbite was that?
That was 14.
Okay, 14. I thought we were playing the San Diego one.
No, sorry.
Welcome back to the program. Dana Lash with you, top of this third hour. That, I mean, that's just her flip-flopping on fracking. I wanted to play 13 because this gets into the immigration issue. And this is how I wanted to come in. And this happens after this group of 20 illegal immigrants tried to storm a school bus filled with kids in San Diego County. This is a crazy story. And this is not the first time that this has happened. Listen.
A group of migrants tried to board a school bus this morning while it was traveling to a school. The superintendent for the Jamul del Zura Union School District informed parents of that incident earlier today. It happened at one of the stops on the school district's bus route that heads to Oak Grove Middle School and Jamul Primary. Meanwhile, yesterday afternoon, in a similar area along another route, the superintendent says that a group of migrants tried to stop another bus. Border Patrol, CHP, and the Sheriff's Office have now been informed of these incidents. The superintendent says that for the safety of everyone, if a driver sees a group of migrants at a bus stop, they will drive past it on and move on to the next.
Isn't that crazy? Like, if they see people, then, you know, if you're there and you're waiting for your kid to get off the bus stop, then you have to chase down the bus and try to get your kid at the next stop. That's terrifying. And if you heard them talk about the number, that was like 20 people. It was like 20. There were two different routes twice this week. That's just this week. And so this school district, they had to send a letter to parents. And they said that there was one where one of the incidents, there were three of them walking in the middle of the highway. And they were trying to stop one of the district's school buses. And it forced them to go around the group. And then that was one day, that was on Tuesday, where they had these three individuals. Then the next morning at a different route, they had 20 of these illegal immigrants that rushed one bus as it was picking up students from a stop. And the parents who were there said that they were helping the bus driver to make sure that none of these people boarded the bus. This is crazy. And we're talking elementary school kids. This was an elementary school bus. This one woman, her name is Nicole Cardinal. She told Fox 5 that her 8-year-old son's bus was one of the ones that was affected, and it was terrifying. She said that these adults, they were not kids. She said they were grown men. They had backpacks on, and they were trying to board the bus. And so now all of these buses in this area, whenever they see anybody nearby at a stop, they have to keep going. They can't stop, they said, for the safety of the students and the drivers. Now, they said that there might be several reasons why they're trying to board a bus. I don't really care what any of those reasons are. It's a school bus. I don't give a rat's ass if it's mountainous terrain and the heat can drive that kind of response. You don't commandeer a school bus full of elementary kids. I don't. That's one of the downsides of coming into the country illegally. You know, you might find yourself in a desperate situation, which is why it's discouraged, you know, for the safety of all. Go back to what some people say. I would like a safe and fair border. What's safe or fair about this? What is safe or fair about people coming across the border illegally and then trying to hijack elementary school buses? I wonder if that story is going to get mentioned behind the pulpit at all. Can you imagine being one of these parents and being terrified like this? Can you imagine? What if, we'll think about it like this. What if you're one of the kids? Because so the area that they're in, I mean, it's like mountainous desert area, and not all of it is like a subdivision where the school buses are at. So what if you're one of the elementary school kids? And this was normal back when I was in school. Like, I was in elementary school, and we'd be dropped off at a bus stop, and you'd walk a couple blocks home, right? Or you'd walk down the lane home or something like that. We used to cut across some of the neighbors' yards and then walk down the lane, you know, to my aunt and uncle's house, because that's where I caught the bus and was let off. So what if you're one of those little kids and, you know, you're dropped off at your stop, and what should be a routine and safe short walk home, now you've got to dodge people who are in the country illegally, and they're grown men. What in the world? What are we doing? What's safe or fair about that? Anybody want to tell me? I can't imagine. And these parents aren't going to be able to be there all the time. And of course, you know, the anti-gun folks, heaven forbid they have anybody armed nearby, like the bus drivers, if they so choose to be, or, you know, any of the parents, heaven forbid. The school district sent out this letter, and they said, this is what they said. They said they're trying to keep their students, families, and staff safe at all times. And if the bus, please stay vigilant. And if the bus drives by, please follow the bus to pick up your child at the next stop. So you've got to follow up. Now, the San Diego Sheriff's Office, they said, well, we were made aware of the incidents, and we're conducting follow-up investigations to determine if a criminal act has occurred.
Oh, thank God.
So it's normal. It's all right. If you get in the middle of the highway and try to hijack a bus, that's not a criminal action. Seriously? Are you serious? This is one of the busiest corridors for illegal crossings. In fact, in San Diego in April, it was one of the top ones. For 2 years in a row, it was in the top five. And they've noted that these routes for illegal migration are changing because Texas has been so hardcore with trying to fight against the federal government and secure the border. And a lot of these illegal immigrants have been telling those who ask, members of the press, they say that San Diego is the easiest and least dangerous place to cross. And it's wild. And in San Diego, apparently, they said that in San Diego, a lot of times deportation flights can be costly to arrange, but San Diego, it's right by Tijuana, and they said that, yeah, it was in the top five for 2 years in a row, and it might be increasing into, like, the top two. This is just wild. Wild, wild, wild. And you're seeing it in Colorado with the Venezuelan gangs. We had that story, too. The Venezuelan gangs have been... they took over several, not just one, several apartment buildings in Aurora, Colorado. And what is their governor doing? What's the governor of Colorado doing? Where's Newsom in California? Is Gavin Newsom, has he been asked to say anything about this? I would think that that's kind of a big deal, right? Has he been asked to say a single thing?
Nope.
I don't know. That's a terrifying thing. But that's what we're going to have and more, depending on what happens after November. I just can't. And it's not just places like California either. I mean, like I said, Colorado. This stuff is happening everywhere. Venezuelan gangs in New York, New Jersey. I mean, it's everywhere. Absolutely everywhere.
Is it just a coincidence that Biden, who was busing and flying these illegals in all over the country, were flying them to areas that they were kind of needing a little more citizenry to get a little more delegate consideration?
Is it just a
coincidence?
Maybe. I don't believe in coincidences anymore, especially in politics. It's like the Matrix. There's no such thing as deja vu. There's no such thing as coincidences in politics either. Speaking of California Democrat policies, Shake Shack. Shake Shack is shutting, I had to be careful with this, six California locations, including five in Los Angeles, because they hiked up the minimum wage to $20 an hour. And so they can't keep up. So the burger chain is closing nine of these stores, and they were looking at their how much money they were making and all of this, and they said they were not they're not projected to provide acceptable returns, those shacks, they said, in the foreseeable future. So five of them are in L.A. One, the other is in Oakland. So it lowers the total to 37. So on April 1st, that's where minimum wage shot up to $20 an hour. So Shake Shack wouldn't comment further on whether it was, but you know it is. And it's the first time, because the business is kind of booming, isn't it? I mean, Shake Shack's a really popular.
It is.
Yeah, it's a very popular.
In areas that aren't Democrat run.
Well, I mean, these were in LA, but I think it's that $20 an hour because they can't afford it. I mean, good night. You're paying somebody $20 an hour to make a hamburger. I'm not denigrating work, but also don't denigrate other people's skill sets by demanding a wage for a particular position where the market doesn't afford, the market doesn't support it naturally. So you're going to see more of this. They had to cut, a lot of these have had to cut employee hours, and a lot of them are moving towards automation to offset the higher wages because it's very expensive. And when, again, you have a market that doesn't support it. Here's how you can tell. This is why I think all of this demand about minimum wage is so much nonsense. All of the places like Shake Shack or others, like in these states where they pass this $20 an hour minimum wage, just as some sort of evidence that they care about the fault, you know, people who are working in this in entry level positions. Well, if you really love them, you'd make it $100 an hour. Right. But you don't really. But that's the first thing. The second thing is that they jack up this $20 an hour minimum wage. And do you think if they were told, well, now your burger that maybe was going to be $6 is now going to cost you $12 for just a hamburger. And if you want to do a combo, that's going to be like $15-$20. These people would bitch and moan over that. But if you told them, hey, you wanted these people to make $20 an hour, this is what it takes. That's the true measure of whether or not they actually support it. Because see, if they really did support increasing the minimum wage to that amount, they would have supported it voluntarily in the market. Oh, you know, I know the burger costs this much, but I support you having a higher wage, so I'm going to give you more money for this meal than what it costs. They would have done that instead of waiting to be forced to do it, I think. It's all fake. It's all Marxist fakery. That's all it is.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five.
A Welsh man is lucky to be alive after he was stung 240 times by wasps. This is crazy. Andrew Powell went outside his family home near Brecon, Wales to inspect the fields, and he saw a large swarm of wasps heading his way. He thought maybe another farmer messed with their hive or nest or whatever, and they came right for him and started stinging him. Apparently there were thousands of them, and he ran toward his house fighting off the insects. They attacked his wife as well. They got 240 stings on him. He's 57 years old, so he had to get medical attention, obviously. And he was drifting in and out of consciousness, and credits doctors with saving his life because of all of the poisonous stings that he got. And so he is just covered with these like red splotches, and it looks really bad. But he says now he's able to deal with the pain without medication, though he's terrified to go outside. Oh, that's horrible. What a horrible, awful. Wasps are jerks. A hotel chain denies reselling rooms. Uh-oh. Booked by Oasis fans. The hotel bookings had been canceled by the hotel and were now back up for 3 times the price. That seems to be like a nice little scam, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Nice little scam that they got going there. So they said that the hotel chain, the Maldron Hotel in Manchester, because of the July 2025, the 2 weekends after speculation about their return, she booked them, but they canceled her books. They said it was, or her bookings. They said it was a technical error. And then they said that she could rebook them, but it's going to be like 3 times the price. That is complete. That's, you can't do that. You can't. That's a bait and switch. She'd already booked it. That's so stupid. You got to honor that at that point. Let's see. An angry Uber driver shows up at a woman's home unannounced, damages her property with a brick because her son gave him a 1-star rating. An Uber driver in Chicago. So they withheld the woman's identity. Obviously, she was terrified, but the guy got a 1-star rating and showed up at the family's house and was like beating their house with a brick. 17-year-old had asked him to take him to the Orland Square Mall. And he said the driver was agitated and he drove erratically and he didn't, the kid apparently said, well, this is a shortcut, and the guy ignored him, was kind of rude. And he said he was just trying to make it within the mall, to the mall, and the guy took the longest way possible. and was rude, and so he gave him a one-star rating for it. The next day, he arrived at their home, and he was livid. And the mom, of course, was, you know, shocked by this and scared. That's completely crazy. You know, here's the other thing, too, that's weird. You can rate their drivers, and they can rate you. Yeah. You have a rating as a passenger. It's very interesting. So, let's see. A free grocery store opens at a school in San Francisco. I guess they need people to enroll so badly, they're trying to offer free food. It's a Bay Area free grocery store at this school. Martin Luther King Jr. Academic Middle School in San Fran unveiled its new on-campus grocery store. So fresh fruits and vegetables, all of this for free there. And it's for the students and their families. We have a lot more on the way. Stick with us. Back after this.
Not able to catch the full Dana Show? Follow Dana's Absurd Truth podcast and get news and laughs delivered in short, easy-to-digest episodes. Ideal for your busy lifestyle on Apple or wherever you get your podcast.
President Clinton, great to see you. You gave an incredibly compelling speech the other night at the convention. If you can just boil it down to an argument or so to an undecided voter out there, I mean, what would you say?
You should vote for Kamala Harris and Tim Walz because their program will give us more shared prosperity and it will give us a shared community where we all live under the same set of rules and all our children have a chance to live their dreams.
We don't live under the same set of rules.
So everyone go to iwillvote.com.
Want with you. Shared, what is this? Shared prosperity, shared. So where, and when are the Clintons going to share some of their prosperous millions with us? Share your prosperity, Bill. What about Dougie there? You're going to be sharing some of your millions with us. Share the prosperity. What in the world is that? All these people are like, you need to share. You need to share with other people. But they don't do it themselves. It's like watching Scrooge McDuck lecture people about money. Stop. Welcome back to the program. Dana Lash here with you. That's a Marxist thing. Shared prosperity. What did he say? Shared something else?
But the message of individualism and individual freedom is completely lost on the left. Mm-hmm. It's no longer part of their platform.
Sharing's overrated. Like, I don't, here are the people who like to twist scripture about being good stewards of their fellow man, but they do so with the malicious intent, and God knows your heart, with the malicious intent of trying to make that an argument for Marxism, except they omit the free will aspect. And also, if you're going into it with malicious or ill intent, then it doesn't count. So, you know, there's that. But the idea of sharing, especially when people think that they somehow have like this right to what you've earned, is wild. I've always thought sharing is overrated, and I was not one of those parents who forced kids to share. Have we ever talked about this?
We have a little bit.
I don't care. It's not me being a bad mom. It's me being an anti-Marxist.
But sharing is caring.
No, it's not. Sharing's stupid. And you're somebody else, some other kid's lack of preparation, it doesn't constitute an emergency on my kid's part. You know, not like here's how I look at it. Like when they were little and I would take them to the park to go play, right? And they'd have their toys that they would bring with them. And it was, you know, they're playing, even if it was just by themselves, they wanted to play at the park. Well, there would be kids that didn't even want to play with them, but they just wanted to play with their toys, that would want to come over and take their toys and then go do something else with them. And the moms would look at me like, oh, that's let them share. And I'm like, hell no. We ain't doing that. You go and you get my kid's playing by himself. He didn't bring, these aren't community toys. Somebody's hard work went into purchasing these. No, this ain't community toy box. He's playing by himself. You go get your stuff. You go get your kid's stuff. You go to Target and you go and you get your kid some stuff. I mean, there's a difference between charity and then just entitlement. And I think people, they confuse the two. Sharing's overrated. I don't know if I was really ever made to share as a kid either, come to think of it. I was a latchkey kid, so I didn't really have any opportunities to test that out. So I just think it's overrated. It really is. Like sometimes, you know, sharing's fun. But, you know.
And sometimes for families that have multiple kids, sharing is necessary because there's just, they can't afford single things for every kid. So, yeah, there are different scenarios. But I
do think, I get very Ron Swanson about it. By and large, I think it's done to emotionally manipulate kids into just giving up their belongings. I've got theories. Kane talks about tinfoil. I got stock on this one. Just saying. Like the little house thing. Oh, can I go further? Can I go one further?
Hold on. We have time.
I don't want to offend anybody though with this one because people get really
over the tiny houses
decor. Oh. You know, people get very defensive over their, and I'm not judging anybody's decor. But I have to, I always thought that shabby chic stuff and the all white palette is a way to get you used to broke decor. It's broke chic. It's a way to get you to fewer and crappier things. And everything's white because you don't have any money to get anything that isn't. I think that they're conditioning you into mediocre modernity. That's what it is. I don't know. I'm just, I like, for instance, there's a house that's being built not too far from us. I mean, I think it's a house. It looks like a doctor's office. It's modern and brutalist. And it looks like a turd in the punch bowl of otherwise like nice houses with like terracotta roofs, like, you know, because it's a desert. And it's just weird. I don't know if you've seen it. I'll have to tell you what road it's on. Okay. But I literally want to pull up and ask if I can see the dentist. It's like that. It's super, super modern and it's gray and white. Everything's gray and white. And it's not like a warm gray. It's like a steel cold gray. Super brutalist. And I'm looking at this like, that looks depressing. That's not even fun. Like Lydia Dietz level. Like, you know, that level with Beetlejuice where she was trying to make it modern. It was still whimsical. Like this is, but I've noticed a lot of that. Like, I mean, you, they're just like a brutalist modernity. It's trying to get you used to all of that stuff. I don't know. But I can't stand the all-white, shabby chic, all of that decor. And everybody's houses look like that one aisle in Target because they all have the same stuff. Well, I don't know what happened. That chain links became a thing that people set on their coffee tables. Right? Have you seen it? You are a man, so you haven't seen this.
Chain link?
Like a giant link of chain. Have you guys seen this?
No.
I swear to you, somebody out there is like, I know what you're talking about. Or someone's looking at their coffee table like feeling bad. I'm not going at you, I promise. But it's like a giant chunk of like one link or two little chain pieces that are linked together. And they're everywhere now. Sitting on every, you see it?
That's a thing.
Like, I don't understand some of that. They call it a tablescape. The hell is that? It's, they arrange stuff to sit on the table?
Decorative chains?
Yes.
And they have four links in them?
Yes. Yes.
What in the world?
How weird is it, right? And it's everywhere. Everybody has all the influencers on Instagram. Everybody has it. And I'm just like, that's an interesting piece of decor that they introduced, a chain link.
Look at the prices they're getting for them. I'm going to make some of these.
I know, right? You could make, chains. I just, you know, to chain you into your life of horrible, mediocre, modernist consumerism. People are literally getting like visuals of servitude. And they're displaying them on the car. That's how I look at it. I'm like, that's so ironic in today's economy that that's what we're doing. That's so ironic or coincidental, rather.
Put you all back in chains.
Oh, my gosh. I'm sure Joe Biden has some. I don't get it. It's just weird to me. And I'm sure I'm going to get hate for it. Because every now and then I'll be like, I don't like shiplap. And people are like, what's wrong with shiplap? I didn't just say, I just don't like it. I didn't say it was wrong. It's not a thing that's right or wrong. I'm just not. It's not my jam. But I don't know. It's just kind of funny. And it's going to get worse as the economy gets worse. We all know this. It's going to, and Steve's mad about disco because I said I didn't like disco. It's not my jam. It isn't. So I'll never pretend otherwise.
Not all disco, but I like some disco.
But back to the point though. It's very, like, for instance, all the Californians that are moving into Texas, they've been building these subdivisions to reflect their tastes. And if you thought that, you know, the old kind of 80s, all the houses look like ranch houses, same style, just like different color brick or whatever, and the neighborhood was weird, wait until you see California modern subdivisions like this. I don't know where the house ends. It is just like snakes of houses. Up one street and down the other, they all look the same and they're all right on top of each other. And they try to build and some of them try to do the McMansion subdivisions where your house is right on the damn road. Why would you build like a big house like that and put it right on the road It just doesn't make any sense to me. It's like having like a big giant truck and putting it on little wheels. Why would you do that? I don't get it. I don't understand it. I've got lots of questions. You've seen those too, Kane, right? And it's jarring. It is such a jarring, like, this is where the Californians live. And all the Californians move there. They all move and they all stay in these like modern little neighborhoods that they've been building all around Dallas and Fort Worth. It is the weirdest thing. Like, you drive by it and it's like a cult. You're like, that's where the Californians live. California, the California modern houses, that's where they all live. It's probably completely terrorizing over there. Who knows? Needles and feces in the streets. I don't even know. We don't go over there. It's the bad part of town. So anyway, I had to share some of that. I had a point with it, and then I got distracted. But can we play the Dougie video where he's trying to lead a chant? Because Kane doesn't understand how this guy got married twice, and honestly, I don't either. Go ahead. It's Dougie speaking, and he tries to lead a chant. Doesn't work out well for him.
U.S.
Well, I almost had it.
USA, USA. So
USA.
You can say it.
Oh, you can say it.
Oh, God.
You can say it. We'll play it again when Juan gets the video ready. But you heard his voice. He sounded so enthusiastic about it. USA, USA. He sounded very excited about it.
What? There was like no oomph in his voice.
Why was to the limit? He only wanted two USAs and then he cut everybody off. Like, that was as much USA. That's as much patriotism as he could take.
You only get two USAs. Anything That's a good point. Anything beyond that's too much. Okay, you can say a third. Go ahead. Give us the third one.
As soon as he stopped saying it, the crowd's like, oh, he's not saying it anymore. So I guess
they get like right on cue though. They right on cue. USA.
USA. USA. So
USA.
You can say it.
Why are the people behind him like, no, it's awkward? Why? It's so awkward.
They were paid to hold signs and not chant.
I've never... Progressives? Can I just say, like, classical, more classical liberals or... Not even that. Old school Democrats used to know how to have rallies. Progressives don't. It's weird, isn't it? Mm-hmm. They're all, like, so robotic. They have no idea. USA. USA. Always stop saying it. I'm going to only say two. It's really weird. Man, are you watching that interview tonight, by the way, Kane?
You know, the reason why I'll watch it is just to see where all the editing happened and just to see how, because, you know, it being pre-taped, there's no way on God's green earth there isn't going to be some editing to this. So I'm just watching it for that and then to see all the positions she's flip-flopped on.
Yeah, well, I'm sure. Well, that's going to be fun. I'm going to watch it. But I will say we're not going to be on air tomorrow. We're having an extended weekend for Labor Day weekend. And we'll be back on Tuesday. So I'm going to have cuts and stuff on Tuesday. Although, I think if it's bad, they'll probably do something ridiculous over the weekend to distract from it. I would think so.
Not able to catch all 3 hours of The Dana Show? Subscribe to the full podcast and get news and laughs delivered in short, easy-to-digest episodes. Ideal for your busy lifestyle on YouTube, Apple, or wherever you get your podcast.
Sure. Governor, let me ask you this. You know, as recently as a couple of weeks ago, it seemed like Donald Trump was having a feud with you. And now he's thanking you for helping he and the Republicans win in Georgia. What happened?
Well, look, there was a little distraction, obviously, on their side when it came to Georgia. But to me, that's in the past. I've been saying that, guys, literally for over a year now, that I was going to support our nominee, that we had to win Georgia. The road to the White House runs through Georgia. And I still believe today we cannot afford four more years of Kamala Harris and Joe Biden.
Well, it's true. He didn't totally answer the question, but I don't care because I just wanted everybody to get along so, you know, we don't have to have communism coming up after November. Welcome back to the program. Dana Lash with you. That's Georgia Governor Brian Kemp, who is answering that question there from Steve Ducey. And I don't really don't care what made it happen, just that it happened. I wanted to real quick touch on some of this polling, some of the Senate polling. In fact, it's actually Trump's pollster, Tony Fabrizio's firm. He has the Republican Rogers going up against Slotkin in Michigan, 43-43. Pennsylvania, the Democrat Casey's ahead of McCormick, 46-43. It's a Pinpoint Policy Institute. In Wisconsin, Baldwin and Hoved, Democrat, Republican, respectively, 48-43. It is super close, and it's a pretty evenly split measure on all of the on the survey, the Democrat to Republican. It's actually pretty decent, and that's on Senate. That's a pretty decent survey, even though it's the you know, a Trump favored pollster. It's a decent survey. It is very, very close. And this is why I pull this up. This came over from Semaphore. They did a survey saying Democratic excitement about voting is surging to 2008 levels. I am not, if this was towards the end of October, I would be concerned. As it is, it's at the end of August. And so I'm not as concerned about this, but I do think that people need to kind of take note and sort of keep an eye out, because a lot of this is just left over from the DNC and her adding walls. It's just like the ripples of that. And I don't imagine any kind of enthusiasm staying up at this point for Democrat voters. They were saying 22% out of 56%, 56% said they were enthusiastic, more enthusiastic, 22% said that they were less so. So just keep some of that in mind. And then there's a seven swing states. This is in your prep. Battleground states where Trump and Harris are tied. And that is also reflected by the RCP average, the Cook Political Report, and 538. Very close. A lot of work needs to be done. Today in Stupidity came.
Well, Kamala thought it was necessary to explain what a team is in front of kids who have spent their entire life being on teams. So let's hear it. That's cut 8-1.
Our country is counting on all of you. You are leaders. By the very fact that you all are here in this room, doing what you do at this incredible school, doing it as one big team.
This is a high school. Wait a minute. Am I wrong?
It's a high school.
It's a high school. She's talking to them like they're seven. What does she do? Is she drunk?
I don't think she has the capability to relate to people. She's just not a good speaker, and she's
so
awkward.
So frustrating.
And it just is, it's just, she just, it doesn't resonate.
And it's stupid.
Yeah. Folks, that does it for us today. I will be back behind the mic with you on Tuesday, but you can check out Facebook, obviously. In the meantime, YouTube, like and subscribe, and Substack, Chapter and Verse. Have a great weekend. God bless.